I have a very simple message today. I just felt like God spoke one thing to me. As much as I tried to dig and pray and search and look and figure out and ask Him, and He just kept bringing me back to this one thing. And it's Matthew 5:43. It's where it starts, through 48. And I feel like it's just simple. This is what God wants to say. And so this is where I'm going to start. But in Matthew 5:43, it says, the title of this part is Love Your Enemies. You have heard it said, this is Jesus speaking. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. You have heard that it was said. You've heard. Now, I have read this scripture a bunch of times. I've heard it a bunch of times. And just assumed that Jesus, you know how he'll sometimes quote the Old Testament when he's dealing with the Pharisees, Sadducees, or talking to people or whatever. He'll quote some Old Testament passage. And I don't know why, but it never clicked in my head that he didn't say it is written. I never noticed that. He said, you have heard it said. He was addressing something that wasn't right. He was addressing something that among the Pharisees and Sadducees and the religious people of the day that was just a part of culture. It was false. It was what they thought, but it was not written. It was not scripture. It was not right. It was not real. So he was saying, you have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Then he says, but I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. So Jesus is relating something here. He's making a very clear message. He is laying a standard for how we're supposed to react. You need to think about something. It is our sin that nailed him to the cross. He's not telling us something that he didn't exemplify and isn't still exemplifying. It is our sin and disobedience that caused him to be crucified. And he loves us. He still loves us. He still loves us even when we mess up, when we leave here. He still loves us when we mess up tomorrow. And he still loves us when we mess up next week. And we're not even his enemy. But how much more are we supposed to love those who aren't our enemy? If he says love our enemy, do good to those who hate us, pray for those who spitefully use us. Let's bring this home for a minute, because we think that this is out there in outer space somewhere sometimes. We think, no, seriously, we do. We think hate's a strong word. I don't hate anybody. Spitefully using me, that's a strong statement. Nobody's doing that. I mean, I got some people I really don't like. But I wouldn't use the word hate. Well, let's make it real. What is it to hate? What is it when we come around people and we really dislike them and we don't want to be around them and we cringe when we go to work and have to be around this person, or we cringe when we have to go to a certain place and we have to be around someone? What is it? Well, we in our culture, we like to tone it down. We like to say, well, I just dislike them. I just don't like being around them. And that's okay. It's okay to not like being around somebody when they're bad and they're mean and they're ugly and all of that. But he said, love your enemy. He said, do good to those who spitefully use you. He said for us to act differently. And then he went on to say, he went on to connect it and say, you would be good sons of your Father, of the Father, by doing so, acting like him, which he did. I mean, our sin murdered his Son, and he loves us. Right? I don't think any of us have anybody in our lives that we could say is that extreme. We got some people, I'm sure that we all got some people we really dislike. But I don't think we have anybody that's murdered our son or our daughter. And even if we did, the rule still applies. We have to forgive. We have to love. You know what? Let me put it a different way. We don't have to. If we love Jesus, we have to. He said, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. And I think it's in Peter where it says, if someone says that they love God and hate their brother, they're a liar. Right? So if we love him, then this needs to be a reality. This needs to be something that we practice. And guess what? It ain't easy.
No, it's not easy.
Just because we know it, and just because we love God, doesn't mean that it's done for us when we walk out the door. Just like we choose to love him, just like we choose to accept him, just like we choose to hear the word and read the word, we also have to choose to put it into practice when we walk out that door. And let me bring it a little closer. When we're in this room, we have to do the same thing. You know, it's harder with the people that are closer to us. That's where more hurt happens. That's where more disappointment happens. And we all deal with it. There's not one of us that doesn't deal with that. The closer we are to people, the more painful it is when they hurt us. Right? So we got to get this down and make it a part of who we are. A part of who we are to love not just our neighbor, but love even our enemy. To do good to people, no matter what. He said that the Father sends rain on the just and the unjust, that he's good to the bad and the ugly and everything else. I mean, you know, let's be real. God is good to people. Even when we don't deserve it, he's good to us. And there's not one of us in this room that can say, oh, there's a time when we were perfect and good. That we can all say that there was a time when we were sinful and we were lost and we did wrong things and still probably do. And God still loves us. And he's still good to us. And let me just be even clearer. The guy in prison who committed murder, the guy, he was comparing it. You know, you gotta realize this. In his day, the tax collector, the only thing I could equate that to in culture, in our day and time, would be a child molester. That's how ugly and nasty they looked at tax collectors. They hated them. The people of their culture hated them. In our culture, in our day and time, they're marked for life. They're put on a list. All those things. I don't know what else to compare them to. A murderer gets out and he's not on a list. He's not marked for life in society. Yeah, he has a record, but you know, he doesn't have to register. And I'm all for that. They need to be known where they are. I'm not saying anything against that. I'm all for that. I'm just trying to make a point. Jesus was saying, do not even the tax collectors do the same thing. You know, they treat the people good that treat them good. So if we just treat the people good that treat us good, then what more are we doing than what they do? The worst of the worst that we can think of. The worst possible situation, person, and actions that we can think of, even they treat the people good who treat them good and like the people that like them. And if that's all we do, then what more are we doing than them? Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. This is not a secret, but a lot of us don't know it. If I say I love God, then I got to love my brother and my neighbor. I got to love my enemy. I got to love everyone. No matter what they do, no matter what they say, no matter how they act. Now, do I have to be around them all the time? No. But I got to love them. I can't hate them. But let me tell you something. The way that we treat people, the way that we think about people, the way that we treat people, the way that we love or don't love people, it is a direct reflection of how we honor God. Or how our relationship with God is. When you tell me I love God, but you hate a certain people group, no. Sorry. No. Scripture says if you say you love God and hate your brother, you're a liar. It's clear scripture. But we always take it to the extreme and we think, well, we're not doing the extreme stuff. But let me make this real. It happens in our everyday life. It happens among coworkers. Let me just bring it a little bit simpler. You get in a conversation and somebody brings up somebody you don't like, I don't like. It is easy to get sucked into the conversation and start talking negative about that person. Right? What did he say? Bless those who curse you, right? What is it to curse someone? To curse someone is not just a magical spell that some witch does. It's speaking, actually Webster says, it's when you speak something negative about a person that causes them harm or causes them to be thought of negative or that kind of stuff. Or it affects their life in a negative way. So it's not some magical spell. And it's not even me just saying a curse word. It's when I involve myself in a conversation that tears that person down. Guess what? Even if they're my enemy, God loves them and I'm supposed to also, right? So if I get in that conversation with that person and I start tearing them down too. Oh man, you know what they did to me? You know what they did to so-and-so? You know what they did over here? He said, bless those who curse you.
Sometimes that's hard to do.
Now that person likely is cursing you. Yeah. Because they probably don't like you either. Right? So, but the thing is that what Jesus is saying is that we're not supposed to respond the same.
Amen.
We're not supposed to do what everybody else does. We're not supposed to give in to our human nature and just be normal and do that. We're supposed to be above that, out of that. But it is a choice. Just because we hear it and just because we believe it doesn't mean we do it. Doing it is the proof that we believe it. Putting it into practice is the proof that we love God, is the proof that we love people. And it is a choice. And our feelings will not line up at first with that. I can go ahead and tell you now, it's going to hurt. It's going to be frustrating to practice this. It's going to be difficult. But it doesn't negate the fact, and it doesn't take the responsibility off of us, that one day we're going to stand before Jesus Christ on the judgment seat, on the judgment day, and we're going to have to give an answer for this stuff. He said we were going to have to answer for every idle word. He made it clear. He couldn't have made it any clearer. And I don't know about you, but on that day, I do not want to stand before Him and be on the wrong side of this thing. That's why He wrote it down. That's why He made it clear. And yes, you and I can choose to ignore this and continue on like we have been and go on and do what we're going to do and act like we want to act and like the people we like and don't the people we don't and continue to hate people that really get on our nerves and continue to do all of those things. But the fact is, you've heard it today. And it's written right here. And Jesus said it. And me too. So I have a choice now. I have to put it in practice. I have to begin to make this a part of my life and react differently than what I feel like acting when someone attacks me or when someone makes themselves my enemy or when someone curses me or when someone's trying to just spitefully use me or all of those things. None of us are going to go through life without enemies. And if you're a Christian and you love Jesus and you really put it into practice, you're going to have more enemies than normal. Because people will just hate you to hate you. Because it's demonically inspired. And they'll do things mean just because. No good reason. You don't have to do anything to them first. All you got to do is have a smile on your face and be happy and they'll be mad at you. But you know what he's saying? That when they stab us in the back, when they cuss at us, we still got to smile. We still got to love them. No matter how bad they hurt us, no matter how ugly they are to us, we still got to react differently. Otherwise, we're not doing anything more than the child molester or the tax collector or the murderer. They like the people that like them. They do good to the people that do good to them. They're friends with the people that are friends with them. I don't want to be like that. Jesus told us not to be. He told us to love even our enemy. To do good to people. To react differently. Let me give you an example. Because this is a powerful thing. And it doesn't always happen that you get a good result. I understand that. We all do. But there are times when things happen quickly. I have an aunt. And she was working at a convenience store. And a large man came in to rob her. A gunpoint. It's late at night. He come in the store holding a gun and started talking really nasty and ugly to her and put the gun in her face and said, "Give me all your money." And she didn't react the way that people would normally react. She didn't freak out. She didn't get mad. She didn't get hysterical. She just said, "Well, what's wrong? Why are you doing this?" And just started to talk to him normal. And nice, and just totally opposite of what he expected and what we would think would be normal. She was a believer. She loved Jesus. And so she started to do that, and then she started to talk to him about Jesus and stuff like that. And then she, you know, I think somewhere along the way asked him if she could pray for him or something like that. But he ended up putting the gun down. He ended up letting her pray for him. And he ended up leaving the store and not robbing her. Now, does that happen every time? No, but it can. Now, let me ask you this. In that situation, if she had reacted in kind, or if she had reacted differently, what would have happened? She would have got robbed and probably hurt. So there is a blessing. There is a blessing that comes with obeying God's word. It affects our lives. It brings favor. It protects us. It puts things into motion. It makes us different. It's reality. It's real. It's powerful what he tells us. He doesn't just tell us to do stuff to do stuff. He tells us to do things because those things affect our lives. Those things that he tells us to do protect us, keep us safe. Those things cause good to happen. It also, in us, reveals to others who don't know God that he loves. Because just as if we're ugly and mean to people and we say we're a Christian, does it give them a bad taste in their mouth and turn them away from God? How much more powerful is it if they're ugly to us and we react in love and we're good to them and we're nice to them and we bless them and we do something crazy ridiculous in spite of how they're acting? Then when we say we're a Christian, it makes a difference. It means something. It means something to them. It makes an impact in their lives. And we're being real. We're being genuine. We can be like everyone else. But if I'm going to be like everybody else, I'm not going to be in this building. I'm not going to go to church. I'd rather just go to work and go have fun and do my thing. But that is not what I want to be. That is not where I want to be. That is not who I want to be. I love Jesus. And because I love him, I want to do what he wants me to do. I want to obey his word. And it's difficult. It is not easy. It is not easy to be nice to somebody who's being vulgar, ugly, and mean. It is not easy to love someone who hates you for no good reason. And trust me, it's going on right now. I am walking through it. Am I perfect in it? No, but I am fighting with all I got to love no matter what. Why? Because it's a choice. My feelings don't line up to make it easy. My feelings fight often in the opposite. Yours will too. That's reality. But the reality also is that Jesus said to love our enemies and to do good to those. Right? It's just a choice. We choose to put the word into action. We choose to obey him. But we choose to obey him because we love him. You know what? Sometimes I got to be nice to somebody and just say, I love you, Jesus. Real. That's real. Sometimes I got to keep saying it. Jesus, I love you. I really love you. But that's reality, right? I'm not saying it's easy. I'm saying we have a choice. He said we have a choice. We choose to love him. We choose to love people. When we choose to love people, we're choosing to love him. Did you hear that? When we choose to love people, we're choosing to love him. You cannot separate the two.
No, you can't.
You cannot. Peter said it. He who says he loves God and hates his brother is a liar, right? You cannot separate the two. If I love people, I love God. If I don't love people, I don't love God. If I choose who I'm going to love and who I'm not in people, then I'm just like the tax collector, the child molester, and the murderer. I'm not doing anything more than they are, right? I know this is a toe-stepping sermon, but I felt like this is what God wanted to say this morning. And he's saying it to me just as much as anyone else. But I really feel like this is what God wanted to say today. Because what is coming up, what is ahead for us as a church, as a body, God is doing some things. Some things are falling into place. Some things are lining up. Can we see them yet? Maybe not. But I just know, I just know that God's about to do something. We've been believing for a while. We've been praying. We've been digging in. We've been sowing. We ain't been sitting around just saying stuff. We've been doing. God is not going to ignore that. We're loving our community. We're blessing our community. We're doing what we know to do. We're doing what we're able to do. God is not going to ignore that. Now, when increase comes in that, this message is going to hit home.
Yes.
Because the more people,
absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
This is reality. It's real. The more people, the more real this becomes. So we have to get this in our heart. We have to get this into practice. So I'm going to encourage you today to go home and read this week over and over and over and over again. Talk to Jesus. And when the opportunity presents itself, and I assure you it will, do something opposite of what you feel. Do something good to somebody who's mean. Love somebody who hates you. Make a choice to practice what we believe. We have to. Our neighbors, our loved ones, our city depends on us Christians getting this message. It can't be a show. It can't be a country club. It's got to be real. And this is what's real. If we love and we do and we practice what He said, that's real. I don't want a country club. I don't want a show. I don't want a routine. None of us do. We want the real thing. We want Jesus operating in our lives. We want to see the kingdom of heaven manifested on earth. We want to see the city of Vider changed. You know how it's going to change? Us practicing this word. Loving those who hate us. Blessing those who curse us. Not getting involved in continuing or throwing fuel on the fire or adding to the conversations about people. The yeah, yeah, yeah stuff. It's just as bad as the big stuff. What we think in our mind, that's what the devil does. He tries to get us to think, well, you're not doing the big, big stuff. Well, actually, yeah, you are. It all ties together. Especially when we're told to bless and not curse. Because then we're directly disobeying Jesus. When we're told to love and not hate. Sin is simply disobeying God. So if you guys would stand today, I want to pray. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask you, Holy Spirit, to drive this home into our hearts today. Make it a reality. God, I ask you to encourage and strengthen each one of us. Father, your word says that you, by the Holy Spirit, you are our helper. And so you will help us love. You will help us bless when it's hard. You will help us love when we're being hated. You will help us to do the opposite when we're being attacked, and to do good things to those, and to pray for those who are spitefully using us in a mean and hateful way. You will help us to pray for them, and you will help us to love them, and you will help us to do good when we're having an attack come against us. So Holy Spirit, just as your word says in John, that you are our helper. Right now in the name of Jesus, I ask you to drop down right now, God, and just fill our hearts. God, you're already here. I know that. I just ask that every heart here, that we would open our hearts and that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, with the boldness of your Holy Spirit, with the help of your presence, God, that as we open our hearts, you would help us not only to take this message, to hear it, to understand it, but to read over it and to fight for it and to put it into practice and to go and do the things that are difficult. To choose this week and from here forward, from now on, to love, to bless, and to do good, no matter what our feelings say, no matter how hard it is, no matter how bad it looks, and no matter how mean the person standing in front in our face is. Jesus, I ask you for help because I know that without you, we can't do this. But with you, we can do all things. And you have clearly told us that you live inside of us. So we have no excuse. There is no good excuse to say I can't, or I don't want to, or I didn't. There is no good excuse because you're in us and you are our helper. And you told us what to do. And so, Jesus, I just ask that you drive this home in our hearts today, and that this week you give us the encouragement, the help that we need. Father, I know that the situations will come. And so I just ask you to remind us this week of what your word says, of what you said, Jesus. Make it a reality. And make it a part of our life. Change the very fabric of who we are and let this become muscle memory in our reactions to people. Let us not go on the way that we always react. Let us not do the things we always do. But God, let us be changed from the very core of who we are, myself included today. Father, I thank you for that. I ask you for that. And I ask you to bless every person here today.